are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, February the 7th, and an Andre Drummond retrospective from you guys, the fans. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Stick with us. Even after the trade deadline, there's still basketball to be played. We're going to start talking about the draft a little bit more and earlier than we usually do because of not much else to talk about. And, of course, it's going to be more important to this franchise going forward with a little bit of a higher draft pick, we assume, this year. So spread the word. We appreciate all you guys and all you do for the Locked On podcast, Locked On Pistons podcast. So today, Pistons back in action tonight against Oklahoma City, home against the New York Knicks on Saturday as well. We're going to talk briefly about those. But we're mostly just going to the phones. I open it up to you guys. I got a whole bunch of voicemails we're going to play for you. I'll react to them, and hopefully we touch all the bases that we want to talk to about the Andre Drummond and trade deadline situation. I'll probably have some final thoughts for you afterward if there's any time left over. But we'll see how it goes. I'm going to leave it up to you guys. I haven't listened to the voicemails yet, so we'll react to them in kind of real time as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But, man, a little bummed out today. As you, if you listen to our emergency bonus episode, which I encourage you to listen to before you listen to this one, kind of laid it out there, and I said this was a debacle. The Pistons D-minus the trade deadline and getting rid of Andre Drummond and moving on from that is the only reason that it wasn't an F, as they at least they have a little bit of direction on that part of things, but just the fact that they failed to make any other complimentary moves, including Markieff Morris, which is one that still baffles me. We had Zach Lowe and Kevin O'Connor throughout the week saying that there were multiple suitors. Zach Lowe went as far as to say that the Pistons can get a second-round pick if they want one. And according to James Edwards III of The Athletic, said that that was not the case, apparently, that the offers weren't coming in, according to sourcing that he has. No doubt that the sourcing that he has is through the Pistons, and I don't mean that as a derogatory or inflammatory towards James. It's just kind of, if you read his grade recap of the trade and the trades not made, that it's just kind of pretty obvious that everything's kind of laid out from the Pistons' perspective and that they're kind of justifying not making the deals, which it makes sense that they would do that, and it makes sense that James would report that, of course. But I have a hard time not believing the national guys, and maybe it was a timeline issue. Maybe the Pistons had deals Tuesday and then Wednesday, but not on Thursday as teams looked the other way, which would signal to me that they screwed that up and didn't make the deals when they needed to. So anyway, I can rant and rave about this trade deadline forever. I'm just picturing Media Day next year and Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin and maybe Fred Van Vliet or DeMar DeRozan, like one of the big free agents that come in, although DeRozan, I'm sure he picks up his player option next year as well. But, you know, whatever free agent du jour, maybe a couple other vets in there as well. Markieff Morris back again, thankfully. And Dwayne Casey and Ed Stefanski talking about, we think we could be a home court team in the playoff next year. We can get into that top four if we stay healthy like we didn't last year. And it just makes me almost physically ill to think about that scenario and that this team is going to be going for the playoffs again next season and not undergoing that proper rebuild like the indications were that they would or could and should but won't. So here we are. But the Pistons made the move on Thursday, one move, less than an hour before the trade deadline, trading Andre Drummond to the Cleveland Cavaliers for John Henson, Brandon Knight, two guys that you didn't know were still in the league. Two expiring contracts, they are, and a 2023 second-round pick, the lesser of two picks between the Cleveland Cavaliers and Golden State Warriors. Remember when those teams used to play in the finals every year? So anyway, that happened. It is a big deal for the Pistons organization. And like I said earlier, I'm a little bit indifferent about the trade. I get it. I get moving on from Drummond. I would not have done it. I would have held on to him until this summer. And if he opts out of his $28 million deal, which is certainly a possibility, I don't think would have happened. But if he does, then you move on and you don't get this horrible second-round pick from 2023. I would have taken the risk. I would have said, I will jeopardize losing him for nothing and seeing what happens. And if he opts in, you're kind of screwed on the one hand, but on the other hand, maybe you can make a deal. Maybe you convince the bad teams out there, the Charlotte Hornets, whatever teams are out there that are cap strapped, that can't make any big changes, that are looking at another season of losing, and you could maybe convince yourselves that one season of Andre Drummond with a expiring in the summer of 2021, when everyone has expiring deals and wants expiring money, that maybe that could work out for you. It's a big deal to this franchise. Andre is getting just kind of shit on nationally right now. I kind of feel bad for the guy. I do feel bad for the guy. He came out on Twitter and said, if there's one thing I learned about the NBA, there's no friends or loyalty. I've given my heart and soul to the Pistons, and to have this happen with no heads up makes me realize even more that this is just a business. I love you, Detroit. You will always have a special place in my heart. But on to the next Cavs. Hope you're ready. Let's finish the year off the right way. A little bit later on Twitter, he also put a picture of his son and said, quote, remember, son, trust no one, end quote. This is a 26-year-old guy who's in his eighth year in the NBA. And again, we're not going to do the bash Andre Drummond half hour, I promise. But this is kind of very Andre when you think about it. There's a level of immaturity there that I believe is part of the issue. And if it wasn't part of the issue, I don't think the Pistons would be so desperate to move on from him. How could he not know? He was asked point blank about reporters about this. This has been front and center in reporting by the league's number one reporter, the guy that everyone knows everything. And that's been going on for a month. So to say that you're blindsided, and again, from James's article that was very sourced, seemingly from the Pistons, James, I quote, says, Drummond's representation had been notified multiple times that the organization was actively trying to trade him, per a source, end quote. So, you know, Andre, playing the victim here. He's made a whole lot of money in Detroit. He's had a lot of very good times in Detroit as well. He's got a lot of fans here in Detroit. And it's just an unceremonious way to go out, mostly on the team's part and also on his part as well. Ugly, but all breakups are ugly, right? Especially when they're meaningful and long-lasting and all that stuff. We can give you some romance advice maybe later on the show. But it's typical clumsy Andre, typical clumsy Pistons. It's hard to pick sides. Obviously, the Pistons didn't surround him with a good enough team to be successful. Obviously, he didn't do quite enough to live up to the promise, the potential, the contract at the end. It's sad. It's just so sad because he's a big part of this past decade. We know how bad this past decade has been. But on the other hand, he's a two-time All-Star. He's done a lot of good things. He was always in shape. He was always productive. He was always healthy. You have to give a lot of credit to Andre Drummond for his time here in Detroit. And now that time has come to an end. But the Pistons season has not, sadly. They are playing tonight at Oklahoma City at 8 o'clock. The injury report is quite an injury report. Derrick Rose, who's still on the Pistons. Svi Mykhai, Luke Blake Griffin, Kyrie Thomas, Luke Kennard, Markieff Morris, all out. And, of course, Andre Drummond listed on the injury report as out as well, with trade pending. And Tim Frazier, by the way, released by the Pistons because of the roster spot that was made unavailable. His roster spot was made unavailable by the team after they picked up two players in a trade for just one player. Lewis King and Jordan Bone also available for the Pistons. They are not on the injury report as well. I said before the deadline that after the deadline, you're okay to root for wins, maybe even make a playoff push. But that was with the caveat that the Pistons would do the optimum amount, the correct amount of selling. Now that Langston Galloway and Markieff Morris and Reggie Jackson and Derrick Rose are still on this team, throw some other guys in there, Tony Snell, sure, why not, Luke Kennard. Not that he was a selling option, but an asset option that was out there, obviously. I'm doing a 180 on that. You should not be rooting for wins right now. Right now, you should be rooting for losses. Again, you can be a fan however you want. Just my recommendation here. I'm just so bummed about the lack of trades, the lack of assets coming back, that I'm not there. I'm still saying lose, root for this team to lose, get out of any kind of sniffing of the playoffs, and help the draft. The draft pick has to be good now. They don't have any other options. This is the only the pick being really, really, and the Pistons hitting a home run out of it is like the only real path for a meaningful add to this rebuild this summer, other than taking on bad contracts. These are bad times. The Pistons need to get away from the playoffs at this point. They need to go on a run of bad play, and it needs to happen now because this pick needs to get better. And, it's just ugly. If they made those deals, if it was Bruce Brown and Sekou and all these other guys, Christian Wood and Svi, and maybe Kyrie Thomas comes back, and those guys are making a run for the eighth spot in the playoff race, that'd be great. I'd be all for that, but not with this team. I don't want this team going anywhere. I seem to believe that this is going to be a one offseason rebuild or a one trade deadline rebuild, and they're going to try to finesse this and thread the needle, and it's not going to work, first of all. And second of all, that puts all the more onus on this draft pick being as good as possible, as valuable as possible, and they need to hit on it because I don't have confidence that they're committed to a multi-part process for making this team better. After tonight, Saturday, home against the New York Knicks for a 7 o'clock game, second of a half of a back-to-back. Home against Charlotte on Monday. Let's break that damn streak against the Hornets. That's the one game we can win. And then on Wednesday at Orlando, that's the last game before the All-Star break. But up next, I'm going to you guys. You guys are taking over the rest of the show. I'll react to your calls. Got all sorts of calls about Andre Drummond. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, we talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron LeJames to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind, end quote. And if you head to calm.com/lockedon, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain or leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories and meditation. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedon. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedon. That's calm.com/lockedon. Yes,
sir! Hey there, Pistons Nation. Brandon Casta from Sterling Heights calling in, reacting to the Andre Drummond trade. The first thing I want to point out before I even get into how I feel about it is Andre Drummond sent a tweet 10 minutes ago. It says, if there's one thing I learned about the NBA, there's no friends or loyalty. I've given my heart and soul to the Pistons, and to have this happen with no heads up makes me realize even more this is just a business. I love you, Detroit. Okay, so, yeah, thanks. He loves us, Detroit. But the fact that he said that there's no heads up, that's ridiculous. He's been rumored to be traded for months now. But anyway, so that tweet right there encapsulates what Andre Drummond has been to the city of Detroit, the Detroit Pistons team, since he's been drafted, just immature. And we didn't get the best return for it. And we got a second-round pick and some expiring contracts. You have other players fetching first-round picks that are clearly not as good as Andre Drummond. But it's addition by subtraction. It's good to have him off the team, and I'm ready for the post-Drummond era on Detroit Pistons land. That's my thoughts. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Brandon from Sterling Heights, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate you, bud. Yeah, maybe I should have listened to the calls before I did my little monologue because I stole Brandon's thunder a little bit there. The immaturity with Andre Drummond is something that's kind of shown through at times. And to have that kind of be his send-off, that he didn't get heads up, or I don't know what he was quite expecting, but again, the Pistons using some sourced information to say that his representatives were getting heads up, and I tend to kind of believe them in this scenario here. So who's the next caller?
Hey, Matt, this is Rob calling from Muskegon, a longtime Pistons fan like yourself. Just calling to tell you, man, get back off the ledge here. Getting rid of Drummond was necessary, and it's huge for this franchise going forward. He was weighing the franchise down. I think the overall concern of him opting in was their main worry for this deadline, and not having to worry about that going forward, I think frees up this front office to make their own moves. I think they were sick of being handcuffed by the former front office, some of these bad deals. I do agree, you know, not getting rid of Galloway and Morris is kind of puzzling, but I don't think it's the end of the world. I think getting rid of Drummond was the biggest thing they had to do right now. And that was all. Thanks a lot, man. Bye.
Thank you, Rob, for the call from West Michigan. I really appreciate it. Thanks for talking me off the ledge. Yeah, just kind of like you said, I want to reiterate that my sadness and bummerisms is mostly from the deadline as a whole. I get the Andre Drummond trade. I get it completely. I know why they did it. And yeah, my preference of waiting to do something until the summer, if this was the market out there, I could be wrong about that. That's just what I thought would have maybe been a worthy roll of the dice to see what would have happened without trading him if this was the alternative for it. But again, I'm not upset about the move in and of itself. I'm just kind of more upset about the day as a whole. Now, Rob also makes the point about the front office putting their stamp on things and ready to make some moves. That's an important point because I think now this summer, again, I think that Ed Stefanski up until today and his front office, which came in after Stan Van Gundy, this has been an above-average front office. This is a group that's like a B-plus or something like that. The way that they've drafted, the shrewd moves that they've made, and yeah, Tony Snell maybe isn't something to write home about, but that's still a good deal. There's a few good trades out there that they've made. Svi Mykhailiuk for Reggie Bullock is one that stands out, obviously. A nice value signing in Derrick Rose. So it's a front office that's done pretty good. Now, with the cap space created by themselves, the clock starts ticking. Now we can really fully evaluate Ed Stefanski in the front office, because what happens from starting today on the trade deadline until a year from now is now the most important year for this front office. If they have their worst year of their couple years here in charge, that becomes a disaster for the Detroit Pistons. If they have their best year, it could be a really big thing for accelerating the rebuild and getting this team to be as good as possible as soon as possible. So the training wheels are off. This is now this front office's group. They will be, you know, they have responsibilities. They have ways to make moves. They have mechanisms. They have ways to be creative, which I would like to continue seeing. I didn't see a lot of creativity today, by the way. And we'll see. And the thing about it is we can't even really judge Dwayne Casey yet. Isn't that kind of frustrating? A 1 year in, took him to the playoffs. That's fine. Second year, a lot of injuries, sure, whatever. And now it's like all about the development of the young players. That's been good this year. And we'll see if that continues. But it feels like we're going to have a coach that's – I can see at the end of year four of Dwayne Casey and us kind of looking at each other like, is he a good coach? I don't even know. Is he doing a good job? Who knows? Let's hit one more caller before the break here.
Hey, Matt. This is D calling from Sweden, at Eloquin on Twitter. First of all, I wanted to give you props for the grind. You put out an amazing podcast. It got some of my energy out, especially when he flipped out at the end. I think this is an idiotic trade. I really don't see the value in it. I was hoping that when the trade went down that there was going to be a couple of more moves, the Derrick Rose, Morris, Galloway, and we would see a new crop of young talent. But I don't see any of that. And these next 30 games just sound like hell. I wake up in 3 o'clock in the morning to watch games. And without Andre Drummond, for all the Drummond haters out there, we are going to live in a special place in hell, because people didn't appreciate what he did with the offensive rebounds as well as the defensive rebounds, which give you significantly more shots. I don't understand the front office at this point. And even freeing up the cap space, when you sit there and you drop a load on the dude that you drafted and you don't even do something like send him off to a place where he has an opportunity, Lakers, whatever, where he has an opportunity to play in the postseason and kind of showcase his talent, we're messing up. To me, it kind of feels like the Billups trade, where, you know, we just twisted into non-existence and have been there ever since. I appreciated his tweet, where you can tell that he really wasn't aware, or they didn't even give him whatever his guest list was for wish list, whatever, for it. But either way, thank you so very much for the quick pod, and keep grinding. Somehow we'll one day get back to Detroit versus everybody. Have a good evening.
Thanks so much to D from Sweden, L.O. Quint on Twitter, maybe the best Twitter handle in the game. I appreciate your point about these next 29 games. What is this team going to look like? And I feel good for the Andre Drummond stands out there, the guys that have been fighting the good fight for Andre Drummond. They're going to have some good moments here in these next 29 games, because this team will be exposed without the big fella in the middle, especially with all these injuries they have. There's going to be some ugly games, and there's going to be some gloating done by the Andre Drummond people, and I hope that they enjoy it. I hope they have that Mormon in the sun. They deserve it. They've stuck up for this guy after 8 years, and despite, you know, a little bit of a slap in the face here by no NBA teams wanting him. I will take issue with D on the Cleveland placement, though. It seems pretty obvious that Cleveland was, if not the only, then it's got to only be like one or two teams that would have offered anything for Andre Drummond, given what the return was for the Pistons. So to me, I'm guessing that Cleveland was the only team making any kind of offer, and the Pistons didn't really have the luxury of having a choice of where to send Andre Drummond. It was Cleveland, or it was staying in Detroit, in my opinion. But let's take a quick break here. Up next, more of your calls. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hey, Matt, this is Andy from Ann Arbor on a snowy Thursday. Just got done listening to your reaction podcast from the trade deadline. And first of all, I want to say that hearing you actually go through the process was pretty hilarious and pretty great, and I enjoyed it. Speaking of hilarious and great, how about the Pistons for the rest of the season? You've got Tony Snell, awesome. Markieff Morris, couldn't be better. Now Brandon Knight, amazing. John Henson, tremendous. It's just like the comedy of errors that's going to ensue upon the basketball court. You'll be able to get tickets for $5. It'll be amazing. This is going to be something really, really cool to see. What if we're talking about a rebuild? No. We're talking about push for the 8th seed, son. Oh, that's so great. All right, Matt, keep up the good work, buddy.
Andy from Ann Arbor, thank you, sir. I appreciate you enjoying my misfortune as we live through that trade deadline together. But his reading off some of those names reminded me of a tweet I had a little bit earlier. Before Tim Frazier was waived by the Pistons late on Thursday, they had Tim Frazier, John Henson, Brandon Knight, Christian Wood, Tony Snell, and Thon Maker, 6 former Milwaukee Bucks. I'm sure the Bucks miss all of those guys these days. Next caller.
Hey, this is R.C. Nelson down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Lived in New Orleans for the past 8 years, but I am going to journalism school at LSU. Don't let the trade deadline. Didn't get enough out of Andre Drummond. I think if we keep him around another year, he's not taking away minutes from anybody. We're pretty low on the big end. Give the minutes to Christian Wood. He's still getting the minutes, but we didn't move Langston Galloway. We didn't move anybody. We could have got those second-round picks later down the road. Just kind of a slow trade deadline for us, and it was terrible that we leaked out what our asking price was for Derrick Rose and what our asking price was for Andre Early. Kind of just a disappointing trade deadline for the Pistons. It was that's what my grade is. It's an eh. Thanks a lot. Keep it going, Matt. Awesome.
Thank you so much, RC. Appreciate it. I'll get in touch with you when you graduate from LSU and you can get me a job in journalism. I would really appreciate that. But we got to kind of blow through a few of these, so I'll kind of keep the reactions a little bit shorter than before. So who's the next caller?
Hi, Matt. My name is Dan. I'm calling you from the Chicago area on my commute home tonight. Just going to give you my thoughts on the trade deadline today. For most of this day, it was looking like a complete failure, I think, for the Pistons. Then we got some really good news, in my opinion, that Andre Drummond got traded. I don't really care what the return was for him. It's a step in the right direction, just unloading that contract and ensuring that he doesn't opt into that player option that he has for next year. So moving on from him is definitely a step in the right direction. Not really sure what Cleveland wants with him, but thank you, Cleveland, for doing us that favor. However, I can't give this, you know, trade deadline any better than a C- for a grade for the Pistons today. Moving Andre by himself just seems kind of like an incomplete move. You know, trading Andre, you know, it seems like you're acknowledging that this is a lost season, that you're not going anywhere. So what is Reggie Jackson still doing on the team? You know, what is Langston Galloway still doing on the team? Why is Marquise Morris still here, you know? And most importantly, why is Derrick Rose still here? You know, they really botched that up with D. Rose, I think. They were playing with fire all season with him, you know, playing so well and him staying healthy. So, you know, they could have gotten a really nice piece in return for him, for sure. I'm not really sure what their plan is keeping him around. I mean, he's I don't know what part of their future plans Derrick Rose, so I don't know where he fits in that. So I'm kind of confused with what the Pistons did today. I'm less confident that Stefanski has a real plan. I don't know, maybe you can help me make sense of what they're trying to do here. Anyways, those are my thoughts on today. Thanks for taking my call, Matt.
Dan from the Chicago area, thanks so much for the call. Agree with all you're saying. Derrick Rose had Vince Ellis telling me on Twitter that you need the veteran presence, or at least that's what the Pistons believe. You need the locker room Derrick Rose. He'll get to keep the young guys in order because that's what Derrick Rose does. And no other vets can do those kind of things for this team. Needed to hold on to him. Couldn't get assets for him. They respect Derrick Rose. He's going to keep the young guys in line. So I'm looking forward to that happening. Who's the final caller today?
Hey, Matt. EJ, Washington, D.C., big-time Pistons fan. Overall, I give today trade deadline a C+. Big fan of getting rid of Drummond as much as I loved him. I think, you know, it's going to pay off in the long run. It gives us money to sign Christian Wood back next year, as long as we're putting him as the starter over Thon. Additionally, I think, you know, there's a little bit of a veteran leadership with Rose, Markeith, and then Galloway. And then it should give, you know, more space for guys like Luke when he gets back from injury, Svi, Sekou, all of them to get more minutes, and then hopefully from there you start to get a few more younger pieces that want to come in. I know Bruce is pretty popular around the league. Can him maybe get a few guys in, and from there, you know, you've got a young roster with a few veteran pieces that aren't taking up too much salary cap space to be able to lead the team and hopefully kind of transition them through this rebuild process. Overall, as much as I love Dre, I'm glad he's gone. I'm not thrilled with the pieces we got, but I think as long as Knight and Henson aren't seeing much time off the bench, or if Knight's spelling Rose a little bit in late second quarter, third quarter of ball games, that's probably the max of where they should be, and then offload them as soon as you can in the offseason. But C+ for me. I think hopefully the rebuild starts and it goes as smoothly as it can with a franchise that is in disarray.
EJ, or maybe it was DJ, I'm not quite exactly sure, but thank you so much for calling from Washington, D.C. I hear you. I feel like that's maybe where a little bit of the disconnect is. It sounds like EJ's or DJ is kind of excited about the next year. This is kind of a little a necessary hiccup going into next season, and that we could kind of keep things going forward after that. That's kind of my reluctance. Like, that's, I kind of feel like trading Rose, trading Morris, and trading Langston would have been a real signal that next year is kind of a wash. And I know that sucks because it's a lost season, and there's going to be a lot of losses, a lot of bad games. But I just feel like that's the kind of measure that the team would have needed to take. Throw one season down the garbage. I'm not saying go crazy and process it or anything like that. Throw one season down the garbage, get two straight good draft picks, you know, give meaningful minutes to all these young guys, Even the Luke Kennard trade changes that timeline a little bit if you were to do something like that. I think that kind of makes sense for what the future timeline of this team would be. The Blake Griffin contract is only screwing up, you know, that year, one of the years that you're paying Blake over the next two, you know, one of those years it doesn't matter because you're losing anyway, so you don't really care. And then that final year of his contract, maybe there's some kind of way to flip that if he's a little bit healthy by then. I don't expect it, but it's possible. So to me, I just think more of a step back needs to be taken. So I'm not as bummed as much. I liked hearing from you guys, and it makes me feel good that there are people listening and people calling. That makes me feel great. I see the podcast numbers, and I'm always really happy with the download numbers. But just to hear new voices and to hear people around the country and around the world. But thank you guys so much for listening. Appreciate it. We're going to end the week here and come back Monday and find some stuff to talk about for the next several weeks, talking draft. I'm going to talk to one of the D. Rose fans, figure out the mystique of D. Rose and what I'm missing about him in a nice, what I hope to be a nice, respectful and, you know, enlightening conversation. I don't mean that in a negative way, but, yeah, so looking forward to all that stuff and more interaction with you guys, fun laughs as we cry ourselves to sleep about what these next 29 games will look like. You're in Pistons land. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Happy to be done with the week of the Locked On Pistons podcast, but excited to be going forward with all you guys. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Thanks to Andre for the memories. I mean that sincerely. Good luck to you, sir, in Cleveland, and we'll see you down the line.